a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Are you cheating yourself in trading and purchasing? Rich and poor alike are looking for bargains and a good deal, whether buying an automobile or a house, whether getting a wife or a job. Each one wants to get more than he gives. That's right now, isn't it, neighbor? But sometimes when one thinks the other man has cheated him, he really cheated himself. A new article is offered at half price in exchange for your old one. But some will pay full price so as to hold on to their worthless junk. They are foolishly cheating themselves. God is offering you a new life in Christ. If you are willing to surrender your old life, would you cheat yourself by holding on to your profitless old life? Think it over. Some earnest souls say, it looks like God is just passing me by. He must know I want to have my sins forgiven and go to heaven too, as they enviously see others get converted. God is not cheating you, but you are cheating yourself, for you are excluding yourself from God's salvation. You are putting yourself outside the reach of his grace. Such have my sincere sympathy, for there were 2 years of my life in which I wanted to be saved, but it seemed God was passing me by. I sang, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior," but I stopped there. I could not sing, "Hear my humble cry," for I had not called on the name of the Lord. In my pride, I was hanging on to my old self, and in stubbornness, I had not called on the name of the Lord for salvation. God was not slighting me. I was cheating myself. Now, with that little keyhole view of our subject, we shall look further. Here are three Bible verses. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. In these days, the desperate wickedness of human hearts is so unbridled that criminals abound everywhere. A post office looks like a police station or some rogue's gallery, for there's so many pictures of wanted criminals. And if someone marched you up to one of those pictures and accused you of being that criminal, you would hate that person for life. At the risk of such a reaction from you, I must now point out to you that you are that criminal. What criminal? Here's a list of them in God's criminal gallery. God has your photograph and your fingerprints too. Hearken. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. God's law has 10 holy commandments, but here we have 10 wicked, debased criminals, and you are in the list. Yes, you are. Now don't start hurling your nasty words at me, for if you do, you're accusing yourself, for in that list are revilers. And if in self-righteous pride you pray the Pharisee's prayer, "God, I thank thee, I'm not as other men are," then you are excluding yourself from God's salvation. But some of you are so wise, you use your brains to skin out of a tight. You say, the verse says some of you, so that leaves me out. But your wisdom does not go far enough for you to see that if you are not in that list, then you are not in the list of those who are cleansed, sanctified, and justified. See how you're cheating yourself. Another may say, "Surely I have not done all those things. I was never drunk." That is why it says, some of you, some were drunkards, some idolaters, and so on. A lad of 12 would hardly be guilty of the deed of adultery, nor a girl of 13 be a drunkard, but in heart we are all alike, and in principle there's no difference, and indeed we have each chosen out of the 10 crimes that which appeal most to us. One is a drunkard, the next one never drank, but lives the same life in principle. The drunkard's life is motivated by three things. Selfishness, he drinks up the money needed for food for his family. Self-destruction, he will drink if it kills him. Shamelessness, he will have the bottle if he falls in the gutter on the public street. And those who stay sober also live lives of selfishness, shamelessness, and self-destruction. But these 10 crimes are so degraded, we resent being so classed. Neighbor, I charge you, whether old or young, behind the bars or on the judge's bench, the professor in the college or the juvenile delinquent, you are in the list. You are guilty in heart, in principle of life, and in actual deed. You are guilty, and you know you are. My sin that blackened my unconverted days is in that list. You don't know mine, and I don't ask to know yours, but you and I are both there. Be honest, neighbor. It will be to your blessing. As we look at these criminals, I pray that the Holy Spirit will make you tremble as your wicked sin is mentioned. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. 19 centuries ago, Paul found such people in Corinth, and today they are in every city, town, and countryside. To such people, Paul preached the gospel of Christ. With such, the Holy Spirit strove, and just such people responded and repenting of their sins and receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Then a divine work was done by God the Holy Spirit, and they were cleansed, sanctified, and justified. But many of you have covered over your secret sins with your church work. You've hid your night carousings by giving money to charity. And by your pious tongue, you have removed suspicion of your degraded life in secret. And thus, you are determined to exempt yourself from that list of 10 shameful criminals. But in so doing, you're proving yourself to be as sneaky as a thief, as greedy as the covetous, as self-pleasing as the adulterer, and as self-destructive as the drunkard. While you are cheating yourself out of even a chance of being saved, you are closing the door of salvation in your own face. Our Lord Jesus said that he did not come to call or save the self-righteous, and so we must leave such in their sad plight. But others confess, my sin is in that list, I'm guilty. Can such a wicked sinner as I am be saved? Our verse answers, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Neighbor, if all these sins you did till you landed in a prison cell, a moral, physical, and a spiritual wreck, yet now, right now, you can be washed, sanctified, and justified. You know yourself to be a filthy sinner. You need a washing that will cleanse your heart, as the Bible says, purifying their hearts by faith, so that you have godly desires and purposes, a washing that will clean up your life, and a washing that'll make you clean enough for heaven. This is the washing you need, and this is the washing God has for you. Those in heaven tell of their washing as they sing to Christ, the Lamb of God, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us thieves, covetous, adulterers? No, no, but hath made us kings and priests unto God and his fathers, and his Father. This is the washing God has for you in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that cleanses from all sin. Second, but ye are sanctified. God's salvation includes our sanctification. That means to be set apart, separated. All those the Lord saves, he sanctifies, even as he did the dying thief of Calvary, saying unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Instantly that thief was saved and sanctified, as claimed by Christ. His cross separated him from his old body in sin and from the world that crucified his Lord. Every real Christian can say, God forbid that I should glory saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, whereby the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Third, but ye are justified. Our sins have been against God, and with him we have to do. We must get right with God. To have peace with God, we must be justified. That means to be cleared from all guilt in his holy presence. A clever lawyer may argue a criminal free and the court release him, but no argument of man will avail before the holy God of heaven. It took a divine Savior, Jesus Christ, and a divine sacrifice, the blood of the Son of God, for you and me to be justified before the righteous throne of God, as the Bible says. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ who died, yea, rather, who is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. Now we will see where the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man meet. Our verses insist that people are washed, sanctified, and justified by the Spirit of our God. Some have so exclusively honored God the Father, and others have given the honor of every work to Jesus Christ the Son, that they shamefully ignore the Holy Spirit of God. They are angered at the statement of Holy Scripture. What, sinners washed by the Spirit of God? They say, yes. For this is the work of the Holy Spirit, just as the work of atonement for sin was the work of Christ alone. Christ provided the cleansing blood, but the Spirit alone can apply it to the soul of a man. Just as the doctor may provide the prepared serum, but the man who would die in sight of it, a nurse is needed to apply it to him. This is the Holy Spirit's work in the salvation of a sinner. As no one could have eternal life except as Christ was lifted up on Calvary's cross, even so none can be born again except by the Holy Spirit's work of regeneration in that soul. Christ supplied the atoning blood. The Holy Spirit applied it to me, and I live. No amount of human effort, whether by preachers or personal workers, can apply to sinners the salvation that Christ provided at Calvary. But be not deceived by a religion that tells you to wait for the Spirit to do this work to you. Our verse says, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It is your responsibility to call on the name of the Lord Jesus for salvation. The Spirit of God is waiting for your call. Only Christ could provide salvation. Only the Spirit can apply it to the soul. And only you can call on the name of the Lord Jesus. When you call on that name for salvation, instantly the Holy Spirit does his work and you are born of God, washed, sanctified, and justified. Call, neighbor, call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Tell him that you're a lost sinner and want him to save and change you, and do it now. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you will not call, then you are cheating yourself out of God's salvation, and you are consigning your precious eternal soul to those everlasting burnings. It was not the devil that did it, and you cannot blame God with it. You are the guilty one. How solemn, how tragic. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.